Hallelujah. Glory to God. But if you got your Bible, you know, everybody got your Bible? You know, I read it, and this year I made a goal. I don't know. I believe everybody should have a daily Bible reading plan. If you're a believer, you ought to have a daily Bible reading plan. This is God's Word, God's love letter to you. Explains all the words of the covenant. And so this year, I had a couple other minister friends that challenged me, and they said, hey, let's read through the New Testament once a month for the whole year. So we're going to read 12 different versions of the New Testament, and I'm right on schedule. We got a little thing printed out. But I came today to tell you, I gotta come clean before I get into this. I have an addiction to the Word of God. I am addicted to it. I'm telling you, if I don't get in it every day, I find myself getting irritable, getting grumpy. My wife will even say to me, you better get in the Word. Because why? Because I'm going through withdrawal. But I hope, I pray that you catch my addiction. Because we need to be addicted to this Word. It is life and health. The Bible literally says it's medicine to all our flesh. I mean, if God created the whole universe through the power of His Word, He can certainly heal our bodies. It certainly has enough power in it to bring health and healing to our bodies. Amen? And so I confess it every day. I have some things that I do. I carry these little cards around, and this one is on healing scriptures, and this is on finances, because I've counseled so many people, and a lot of the times when we're in counseling, the big problem with marriages is, one of the big problems is money. So I came out and said, hey, you got to get in the Word regarding your money and your giving. Amen? And then this is what I'm going to get into today. And believe me, I come here with much fear and trembling. I've been teaching on this for 3 months, and when Pastor Jay asked me to speak, I'm like, Lord, what do I do? I thought, well, I'll condense 3 months of teaching into an hour or 40 minutes or whatever I get here. I think I got about, 30 minutes. And I thought, it's impossible. So what I want to do is just give you a simple exhortation today. I just want you to, I want to stir your faith up. While we were worshiping God, the Holy Spirit said to me, you probably know this. You can be taught the principles of faith, but there's a spirit of faith. I said, there is a spirit of faith, and you got to catch the spirit of faith. And I'm telling you this, the spirit of faith is in this house. It is here. It is in this house. I can't go into how things the Holy Spirit deals with me, but while we were worshiping there, I mean, the Spirit of God just shook me inside and said, the Spirit of faith is in this house. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. And it's just amazing. But one of the things that I read every day is the Ephesians prayers. Are you familiar with them? Ephesians 1:17 through 22. And then Ephesians 3:14 through 19. And I want to just read that. If you got your Bible, turn to Ephesians 1. It says in the King James Version that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. You know, for several years I've prayed these prayers. I've had to go through several of these cards. I get them laminated, but I just pray them every day before I read the Word. And you know, some people say, well, why, Pastor Darrell, why do you pray those prayers every day? I'm going to tell you why I pray those prayers every day. Because I don't know everything. Because I know I can never plumb the depths of God's wisdom. And the truth of the matter is, you know, well, why don't you just pray it in faith? You know, I said, yeah, I used to do that for my meals. I'd pray on January 1st, Lord, bless all my meals for the year, and then I wouldn't pray over my food after that. That's not how it works. You got to pray over it every time you eat a meal. And so I said that this prayer is really a prayer of consecration and dedication. And so we need to consecrate and dedicate ourselves to the Lord every day. Every day we should consecrate ourselves. And every time you read the Word, you should want the Holy Spirit to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen? And so that's why I pray it every day. I'm going to tell you this. Brother Hagin, who is my father in the faith, Brother Hagin said this to our class. He said, if you'd pray these prayers once a day, every day for 6 months, it would revolutionize your life. If you're here and you want your life revolutionized, I'm telling you, this is how you can do it. He said that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and reveal things you never saw in the Word. He said He will open the eyes of your spiritual understanding and allow you to see the supernatural power that's engrafted in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, while I was getting ready for this, I thought, you know, how long does it take to read this prayer every morning? So I put my little stopwatch on, and I just slowly read through the first prayer in Ephesians 1:17 through 22. And then I hit stop. When I got done, I flipped it over and I read the other prayer. And when I got done, it took me 70 seconds to read both prayers slowly. I don't talk as fast as Pastor Jay, so it took me 70 seconds. So I'm here to exhort you and to encourage you. You know, we see all these ads on television, 20 minutes and you can change your body, 20 minutes, you know, the 20-minute workout, the chair workout, or whatever. I'm telling you, 70 seconds a day can revolutionize your life. If Jesus was here, and Jesus said, listen, if you pray these prayers, it takes 70 seconds. If you pray these prayers, now you still got to study the Word. You got to meditate the Word. The Bible says continually. But if Jesus said, if you'll pray these prayers, I'll revolutionize your life. Would you? You got 70 seconds? I'm really busy, Pastor Darrell. You don't have 70 seconds? You don't have 70 seconds that you're spending on Facebook? Watching mindless, mind-numbing things? Oh, come on, I know. I get on it and it sucks you in. How much more should we spend time with God and in His Word? Amen? So anyway, Brother Hagin said, whosoever would systematically pray these prayers would see a change in their life. You know, whosoever means anyone can do it. Is that right? We're all in agreement. Anyone can. This is what I've found. Most won't. I've been a pastor. I was an associate pastor before we started our church for quite a while now. And most of the time I'll talk to people and I get the same people having the same problems over and over again. And I've given them some counsel, but they didn't apply the counsel. I said, yeah, I know, oh me. Look at your neighbor and say, he's not talking to you. I give them the counsel and then they come back and I'm like, hey, I got nothing new to give you. Are you doing what we talked about? Are you applying what we talked about? No. And so that's what Brother Hagin said. Whosoever will, that means anyone can. What I found is most won't. But I'm telling you this. I'm talking to a church today of people who will and are doers of the Word and not hearers only. And if you'll commit to praying those, if you want, if you feel like, I mean, if you know it all, you don't have to pray, but you know, I don't know all of you, but I know my congregation. I know they don't know it all. I know I don't know it all. But if you'll commit to pray these prayers systematically, daily, you'll see a change. God will open the eyes of your understanding and reveal things you never saw in the Word. And so I've been praying them for years and years. And I'm a little slow. It takes God a while to get things through to me. But when I get a hold of them, I'm like a bulldog. You know, I won't let go of it. And I've been praying for years and years, and earlier this year, I just found myself walking around saying, what is, what are, what is? You know, I didn't even know why I was sad. What is? And then I realized that Paul, when he prayed this prayer for the Ephesians, and it's for all Christians, he thought that it was vital that believers got a revelation, had the eyes of their understanding open regarding three things. What is, what are, and what is. He thought, I'm praying that God will open the eyes of your understanding so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling in your life? Do you know God has a plan? I'm homeschooling my children because our daughter-in-law got promoted in a job. She can still work remotely, but she doesn't have the time to do it, so I volunteered. Because I volunteered for a couple reasons, and I can say it here, but you know, I was concerned that they needed to be taught a few more things and needed a little more discipline that Grandpa could give. But I've been teaching them, it's just been so such a blessing to me. But I saw that I'm teaching them science and biology and everything. And I mean, it's amazing what they're teaching fourth graders now. But it's all a Christian-based curriculum. And they're teaching about how babies are formed in the womb. They even had a video that showed a time lapse of a child's spine being formed in the womb. You should look that up if you haven't seen it. You know, the Bible says, before I knit you together in your mother's womb, I knew you. And when you see this time lapse, you know, your spinal cord is very intricate. This time lapse, it just showed how intricate God is when He is knitting you personally. Is that amazing? Is that amazing? That God knit you together personally in your mother's womb. And you watch that and you're like, there is a God. Look at how the spinal cord, how it just forms, and it literally looks like it's being knitted together. Woo! Before He formed you, He had a plan for your life. Individual plan for your life. Paul thought it's really important. He prayed that you would know. God's not withholding anything from us. That you would know what is the hope of His calling on your life. You know He has a plan and a purpose for you. And I get people that come up to me, I just don't know. I don't know. I really don't feel like a passion to do anything. Young man. And I said, well, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And I'm telling you, I believe His number one plan for your life is to have an intimate relationship with Him. He wants you to intimately know Him. He wants you. Number one, I'm not sure what direction I should go. I'm telling you what, get back to the basics. Number one, He wants you to be a worshiper of God. He wants, just worship God. As you worship God, every time you worship God, He'll speak to you. He'll show you things. He'll reveal things to you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to be a worshiper of Him. That's your number one purpose. I'm just telling you this. I'm a pastor. My number one purpose ain't to be a pastor. That ain't even my number two purpose. My number one purpose is to be a worshiper of God. To have an intimate. Jesus tore the veil. The veil was torn. The blood has been sprinkled and splashed over everything. And it's made a way for me to come boldly to the throne of grace, to come boldly before the Father, not because of anything I've done, but because of what the blood has done for me. I can come before Him, and I can talk to Him like He's my dad. My dad was my best friend. He went home to be with heaven. I thank God. I was in Africa on a mission trip for like 14 days. And then while I was there, my nephew was doing a study for his master's degree in with Cal Berkeley. He was studying the Gelada monkeys in Ethiopia. Anybody heard of the Gelada monkeys? They're very unique because they're only in Ethiopia. They're not in any other place in the world. They have very unique communication skills. They like flap. They flap their lips. I get it. I know that sounds stupid. So my brother, while I was there, he said, "Hey, Daryl, you know, while you're over there at Kenya, Jason's over in Ethiopia. Could you fly over to Ethiopia and just meet Jason? Because he's living out with those monkeys for 13 months. He gets to come to town to buy supplies to Addis Ababa to buy supplies. But he had, you know, could you just go over? Because we're not going to be able to go over for another few months to visit him." And I said, "Sure, Dan, I'll go over and visit Jason." And so we went over there. I had a friend that's teaching in a Bible school in Addis Ababa, so I got to teach in a Bible school all day while I was there. But then I flew back to Nairobi. From there, we're going to fly home. While I was sleeping that night in Nairobi, I had a dream. This is important. And I want you to get this because the Lord spoke to me and then just brought it yesterday and then brought it back to my remembrance today. But I had a dream. And in the dream, I'm in this great white hall. There's no lights like this, but it's just white and like glow, white hall. The ceiling was so high. I don't know how, but it was just so high. And way, 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 way down the hallway, I see this little black dot. And it just comes closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to me. And when it gets right up to where I can recognize it, it's my dad. And he looks like he's 35 years old. He got an white Under Armour shirt on. And I remember when he lifted weights, and he looked ripped. I'm looking at him, and got white pants on, white Under Armour shirt. And he comes up to me, and he says, "When I was growing up, my family, my cousin, everybody, when I was young, they called me Derry." He comes up and he's like, "Derry, how are you doing?" I'm like, "Dad, I'm doing great. How are you doing?" And he said to me, "I'm doing great. Can you believe it? They put me in the army up here." And right when he said it, on his white Under Armour shirt, the words in black, ARMY, were just, phew. And if you knew my dad, I looked at him and said, "Dad, I can believe that. I could believe it. He was a warrior for God." And he said, this is what's important. I'm in Africa. This is a dream. I don't get very many dreams. In fact, I may have 3 dreams in my whole life that I would call spiritual dreams. And this is one that I had. And my dad said to me, "Derry, can you help me out with something? He's my dad. I'll do anything for him." I said, "Dad, anything. What is it? Anything." And he opened his mouth, and I woke up. You know, God don't always spell everything out for you. He wants you to seek His face. He wants you to draw near to Him sometimes. And I'm just like you. I woke up, and I'm like, "No! Come on! That ain't fair." And I thought, "You know what, Lord? I'm just gonna worship you. I'm just gonna sing praises to your name. Lord, I thank you that you're gonna reveal to me See, Paul said it's so important that we get a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's why we pray these prayers. I said, Lord, I just believe you're going to reveal it to me. And I just worshiping God, just praying in other tongues. Got nothing else to do over in Nairobi, getting ready to fly in my little hotel room there. And the Lord spoke to me and said, your father on purpose prayed for everyone in your family. Both my mother's family, his family, the extended family. He said, the Lord said, your father on purpose prayed and interceded that they would come to a saving knowledge of me, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I want you to pick that mantle up. I want you to pick that up. And I said, Lord, I'll do it. I wrote it out on a list. I started praying for him daily. I mean, sometimes there wasn't a lot of emotion in my prayers. There wasn't a lot of feeling in my prayer, but I prayed them daily. And it wasn't a month later. I get a Facebook message from my cousin down in Tennessee who I hadn't talked to in 20 years. And he says, Daryl, are you spiritual? I said, don't talk to my wife. No. I said, well, I like to think I am. And he said, well, I got some... He had had a heart attack, near-death experience, and he said, I have some questions about God. And yeah. And I sent him my phone. I typed in, I said, give me a call. Typed in my phone number. He called me up. He had some questions about God. And he knew that it was the mercy of God that just rescued him from this heart attack. Way overweight. He should not have recovered from that massive heart attack, but he did. And I thank God I was able to lead him to the Lord right over the phone. Yeah! There's nothing more important in this life than getting saved. You know, we need to be blessed. We need to be healed. We need that. But there's nothing. Man, you're saved. You're going to make it to heaven and we'll celebrate forever. Now, we can enjoy some other benefits while we're here. Amen? But I want to challenge you to start praying for people in your family. Because this is the time. To me, it's growing short. And not only that, things are getting crazy in the world. It's getting wild. I do not know how people that don't know Jesus, how they can cope. In fact, the truth is they ain't coping. That's why things are blowing up like they are. Are you listening? Hallelujah. So, what is the hope of His calling in your life? Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans of welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome. God has plans for you. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, God's got big plans for you. And then look the other way and say, God has big plans for you. He has big plans for you. And He's not withholding them. And everything, plans for good. Yeah, not evil. Plans to give you a hope. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome. That's the Amplified version. Thank God. You know, we need to get a revelation of it because that hope, the Bible says, is the anchor to our soul. That's what anchors us to God, is that hope that we have, the hope of His calling. Amen? And I'll tell you what, that's why, you know, everything can be going crazy in the world, but the people will look at you and then say, how can you be so peaceful? How can you be at peace over all this? How can you have such joy in your life? Let me tell you, there's only one way, and it's Jesus. I say this all the time. You know, the Democrats aren't the Savior of the United States, and the Republicans aren't. Donald Trump isn't the Savior of the United States of America. Jesus is the only hope for humanity. Jesus is the only hope. So God wants you to know the hope of His calling. Paul said, this is so important that you get a revelation. You know, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship." His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared before Him that we should walk in them. God's got good things for you. Amen? So, number one hope, love God, develop an intimate relationship with Him. I'll tell you, a second hope God has for you is that you share His love with other people. That's the second hope. Not really intricate, is it? Not really intimidating to me. It's not. It's like, wow, God, with me, He keeps things simple. And I'm so thankful because I'm a country boy. Come on! He has a detailed plan for your life. Number two, the second thing He said, you know, I walk around, what is, what are, He said, Paul said, I want you to know what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. What are the riches of the glory of the inheritance? This book is the last will and testament, the New Testament, last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have an inheritance. Guess where it's spelled out? In the New Testament. Every word of your inheritance is spelled out in this word. And yet, I've met Christians that have never read through the Bible, and I would never ask for a raise of hands, but that have never read through the Bible, God's will for them, God's will that spells out their inheritance, the riches of the glory of His inheritance, and they've never read through it once. But they've read 50 Shades of Grey or whatever, you know. Whatever. I don't even know what that is, but. But they read other books. Are you listening to me? What I'm saying is there anything more important than what God has said to you and me? And Paul said, I want you to get a revelation of what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Remember, I taught almost four months on this. I spent 2 months on hope alone because I found out how important it is that we have hope. It is the anchor for our soul. And then, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in Him? God spells out everything that He has, every detail of our inheritance He has for us in the future and here and now. You have an inheritance here and now. Amen? He desires that we know everything in His will. Did you know that? I know I don't know everything in it yet. That's why I study it continually, day after day. I'm addicted to it because I want God to reveal all of His will to me. I'd hate to get up to heaven and stand before the Lord and He says, hey, what did you think of my word? I don't know, Lord. I've never had time to read it. Woo! And He's so merciful, we still get to go to heaven. But He's like, you know, you missed out on a lot of stuff I had for you. Are you listening? 2 Peter 1:3-4. You know, this is the other thing. To me, when Paul said he wants you to know, it's not like I have a general knowledge of. That, to me, that means intimately, personally know, have it down here on the inside that you know that you know that you know. And 2 Peter 1:3-4 said, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Is that an amazing scripture right there? God's divine power has given to you and me everything we know that pertains unto this life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. I said exceeding great and precious promises. Amen? Number one is like, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that a precious promise? How many have called on the name of the Lord? I said, how many have called on the name of the Lord? You shall be saved. Is that a promise? Can God lie? God watches over His word to perform it. No word of God will return unto Him void. Do you know what? We need to acknowledge the promises to receive them. He's got all these promises for us, but if you don't know them, you ain't going to walk in them. Ignorance really isn't an excuse, but it causes a lot of people problems because they're not addicted to the Word of God. Are you listening? The Word, it's vital. Hallelujah. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He took our sicknesses and bore our diseases, and with His stripes we're healed. Chastisement of our peace was upon Him. We don't have to be anxious for anything. He said, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. He said, is that an exceeding great and precious promise? He said this. He said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What? He said this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these. No, we're too spiritual to have anything. All these things shall be added unto you. He's not opposed to us having things. He's opposed to covetousness. He's opposed to things having a hold of you. But if you'll follow His protocol and procedure and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And you have to find out some things to do with them. Are you listening? I like to hunt. If you don't, you know, I'm not trying to, but for 10 years I gave it up to run after God, to go to Rhema, and follow after God. For 10 years, I didn't pick up a gun. I didn't hunt. And I didn't care if I ever hunted again. And now I have the most beautiful property with a pond. I got a mountain behind me that is like a deer magnet. I'm serious. My hunting buddies will call me up and say, hey, Daryl, I'm in a little bit of a slump. Could I come up and hunt at your house? I say, yeah, come on up. And most of the time, they're harvesting something. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, God knows the desires of your heart. And He's not against. In fact, He wants to give you the desires of your heart. But he has a caveat or a protocol. You got to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. First and foremost. There are times I've had some things, and I know when they start to get a hold of me because the Lord starts speaking to me and say, hey, you need to get rid of that. And I've learned when He tells me to get rid of something, He got something better coming down the line. Are you listening? Because that's the way He is. He's a loving Heavenly Father. So He said that whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by what? By these promises. I said, by what? You know, I'm teaching my grandchildren, and if they don't answer me, I just keep harping on it. So you're going to learn something here. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these, by what? Promises. Come on, you're getting a hold of it. By these promises, you might be a partaker of the divine nature. Do you see why Paul said it's so vitally important that you get a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of these exceeding, of these great and precious promises? Why? Because it's through these promises you're going to become a partaker of the divine nature. It's through faith and walking out and receiving these promises that you will participate in the divine nature of God. You will start to walk out the life that God has planned for you. But listen, apparently, if you don't know them, if you're not applying them, if you're not acknowledging these promises that God has for you, you're not going to be a partaker of the divine nature. Now, you're going to go to heaven. Are you listening to me? It's so vitally important. That's why I pray these prayers every day. You know, I know that there's more. I know that God's wisdom is so infinite. And you know, He wants to share it with us. But I know that He has to give it to me in little bits and pieces. Because I got to grasp a hold of it. I have to know that I know that I know. I know that if He would show me His whole plan, it would just blow my mind. I think some of us need our mind blown. We need our, you know, we need to get rid of our mind and get the mind of Christ. Amen? We need to be transformed through the renewing of our mind. That's the key. It's through these promises that we overcome the world. Jesus said this, you know, I tell everybody, I went to Rhema, I am a faith guy. You know, I had one woman told me, I'm praying for her. And she had cancer. And I'm praying for her. And she said, well, you know, I just never really liked that faith business. And I just looked at her and I said, I just really love that faith business. And she stopped and she goes, oh yeah, right. And I saw a change in her attitude. And she's cancer free now. And she just posted a picture on Facebook saying, I'm cancer free, went through everything. Cancer free. There's something to this faith business. And the spirit of faith is in this house. This is a believing church, not a religious church. Jesus didn't. I thank God for the teachings. All the teachings. I study them all the time. I'm reading through the New Testament once a month this year. 12 times, every month, reading through it again. It gets better and better and better. I found a translation I hate, and I found 11 that I really liked. I'm not going to say it. But I'm telling you, Jesus didn't come just to teach us a lesson. He came to give us life. He said this, you know, I talked to Christians, and I was talking to a guy, there was a flood. It was down in Texas, and it killed several people. And the guy is a pastor, and he said, well, I guess God just knows what He's doing in His infinite wisdom and sovereignty. And I looked at him, and I said, don't talk to about my father that way. God ain't killing and murdering people. He's a God of mercy and grace. Jesus said the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Who comes to kill, steal, and destroy? Satan, the thief, the devil. He's the author of evil. He's the author of poverty. I've been over to Kenya and seen the slum that is a mile long. And people don't have enough food or clothes. They're pulling stuff out of the garbage dump to eat and to clothe themselves with. That is not a blessing. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham can come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. You ought to study Abraham and find out. I know there's a religion, because I used to be a part of it, that, you know, believes that taking a vow of poverty is being holy. No, it's not. It doesn't make you... You can be poor and be covetous. Or you can be rich and be generous. You can be rich and be seeking first the kingdom of God and God's blessings on you so that you can pour your finances and your efforts and your energies into getting this gospel spread. Or you can be poor where you can't help anything and yet be covetousness and like, I wish I had that, or I wish I had that person's car, I wish I had this. Come on. That's good preaching, whether you like it or not. Are you listening? Hallelujah. One more and I'll close. The third thing he wants you to know is, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? This exceeding greatness of his power. And then he goes on and he says, now who is this power towards? Read other translations. Who's this power towards? Who's the power towards? Who's it available to? He said it's this. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We need to get a revelation. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The source of this power came and moved in with you the moment you accepted Jesus. Is that right? The moment you accepted Jesus, he moved in. And he said, hey, I'm not coming for a visit. He said, in fact, he said, you got some things here. I'm going to rearrange and set it up the way I want it to be. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. That same power is available to believers. The same power. They raised Christ from the dead. You're walking around. It's available to you 24/7. All you have to do is tap into it. I said, all you have to do is tap into it. I spent a month teaching on how to connect and stay connected with the power of God. One way is just to bring the sacrifice of praise every day. I wake up in the morning, I've made this my habit. I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. When you were just, if you just did that, when you're doing that, if you're plugging into the spiritual outlet of God's power, your sacrifice of praise connects you to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly of heavens. It gets you in the presence of God. Amen. Well, I feel like I just opened up like a can of worms. But I hope that I stirred your heart up to pray these prayers and to really want to know what is the hope of his calling in your life. To really want to know what are the wonderful inheritance that we have in Christ. And to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward you. Towards you. You know, when Jesus was down there in hell, I don't know if you saw that movie, Remember the Titans, but when he was down there in hell, he accomplished everything. He bore every sickness, bore our pains, bore our sins. He's down in hell. He fulfilled everything that needed to be fulfilled. And I believe that God looked down and said, I ain't holding nothing back. God didn't dial up 3/4 power. He said, full throttle, he raised Jesus from the dead. That same power is available to you. Amen. Can everybody stand? Listen, maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I just feel like I don't have any hope. You feel like, you know, you're just in a hopeless situation. I'm going to tell you the number one thing, the first thing you need to do is to surrender your life to Jesus. Because He is the source of hope. He is your hope. He is the only hope for humanity. So with every head bowed, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, or maybe you accepted Him, but you have fallen away and you just haven't been living for Him. I'm not talking just for a couple of days that you've been away and you want to come back. You want to know the hope that He has for you. If you're here and on either one of those things, if you want to meet Jesus, if you want to see a change in your life and you haven't accepted Jesus, just lift your hand up today. Just raise your hand up. I see that one hand. Any, there's another hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Jesus paid the price. Can we all just say this prayer together? Father God, I come to you today. I surrender my life to you. I believe that Jesus died. He shed his blood on the cross. And he was raised again to life. I receive him right now as my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. If you said that, you're born again. Don't let anybody tell you any different. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Jesus said you are saved. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are 3 ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.